Today's episode is brought to you by Musical Theater Radio's merch store. Looking for that perfect gift for someone or just want to treat yourself to some great musical theater themed merch? Head to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the All Things Theater button on the homepage and check out all the different designs available. And now, today's interview. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Theater Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. Today is another Discover a New Musical edition where you, the listener, and me, the host, get to learn about a new show together. In November of 2022, Mandela, a new musical, opened for a limited run at London's Young Vic. It is inspired by the life of anti-apartheid activist Nelson Mandela. And in February of 2024, Center Stage Records released the original London cast recording. To tell us a little bit about the show are the creators Greg Dean Borowski, Sean Borowski, and Bongi Duma. Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hey. How are you doing?
Awesome. So we got lots of people to talk to. Now, before we get into the show, which sounded incredible. I was listening to the cast recording before we got onto here. Let's get to know you a little bit. So I always ask for a 30-second bio. So Sean, you're on the spot. Wow. Who are you in 30 seconds?
So my name is Sean Borowski. I'm Greg's brother. And Greg and I are the composers and lyricists of Mandela the Musical. We grew up in South Africa. Have been working on the show for many years and building our team, which includes the incredible Bongi Duma and many other folks that we brought into the family to develop the show. And that's me.
Short and simple. Well, Greg, who are you in 30 seconds?
I don't know how different my 30 seconds is going to be to Sean's, other than the fact that I'm his brother. But yeah, you know, we're born in South Africa, grew up in South Africa, and we partnered up with the Mandela family around 2013, 2014, and decided, you know, to move over to New York and to build this team, you know, from the ground up and to tell the story. And yeah, we were just extremely honored to bring some folks along, including the amazing Bongi Duma. And it's been one hell of a ride, Jean-Paul. It's been one hell of a ride. But we're truly blessed and honored to have had the production at the Young Vic and now to be releasing this original London cast album, which we are really proud of.
Fantastic. And Bongi, yourself, 30 seconds. Who are you?
Yes, my name is Bongi Duma. I was born in Umlazi in South Africa. And I'm a composer, a singer, and an actor. I was also fortunate enough to be invited by these guys to come in, you know, into a show. I came late in the party, but I still got some drinks and biscuits in the party as well. So it's been a great ride. It's been great to know the guys, and you know, we've done some work and we work well together. I think if you listen to the music, we try to bring the elements of them two as a brothers. My job was mainly to also help to explore their vision as they had. And up to this point, I think we are proud of the work that we've done together, and we're looking forward to do even more and eventually maybe bring the show to Broadway.
That would be fantastic.
Yes.
That's a lot closer than London for me to get to. I would not complain.
Yeah, it's a 1-hour flight for you guys, right? From Toronto, right?
Exactly. So yeah. To know the present, we have to know the past as well. So were you always into musical theater? This is a question for each of you. Sean, we'll start with you. Were you always into musical theater? Is that something you just discovered a little bit later?
No, I think, you know, growing up, I was always one of the a theater geek as a kid, just obsessed with musical theater my whole life. I was one of those kids in South Africa who, you know, would wait with bated breath for the Tony Awards to be you know, finally screened on South African TV, and then but you know, recorded on a VHS tape and rewatch it 1,000 times. So always in love with the medium of musical theater.
Greg, you as well?
Obviously, grew up in the same house as Sean, so I was a witness to a lot of musical theater blasting out of his bedroom as a child. But I remember being in the school shows at high school was always, a highlight for us. I think just, watching Broadway and musical theater from afar, it was always such a faraway world and a faraway place. I was, from the music industry side of things, really back home in South Africa, the R&B soul producing world, until the day that my brother turned to me and said, "What about doing a musical?" Which has now changed my life. It's been amazing to come to New York, move to New York, and to be a part of, this musical theater mecca.
Bongi yourself.
I mean, growing up in South Africa, I was in music a lot. I had groups. I work as a composer. I discovered early that I can create music, and so I'm involved in plays in school, but mostly I was in choirs and traditional music groups, which is where I made a mark for myself in the township, and then I got discovered to go out. At the time, I didn't know what musical theater was really. It was just plays. We used to call like sketches and plays in schools. And then I started getting out of South Africa right after the elections to the UK to do the educational school programs. At the time, I was writing music and doing some staging and choreography. And then back and forth in South Africa in the late 90s until I did an audition for a cartoon called Lion King and originated the company of Germany in 2001, and I've been in the Lion King since then. I'm still in the Lion King on Broadway now. I've been on Broadway now since 2004, and
Wow.
in between that, I've written some music for. I got a nomination for Drama Desk Award in 2013 and 14 as a composer, best music in a play. So I've co-written some things, worked with a couple of producers in workshops and developments. So musical theater became part of my life, but I was also like Greg, more into music, choirs, and all those things, and musical theater, just be having a skill of creating something and understanding the blend of African vocalization and stuff, which is my specialty in terms of the training, the technique of doing South African music and writing that. That put me in rooms where it was musical theater people interested, and then I started learning a lot, and up until I met the guy. So in New York, I've worked with a lot of young directors and producers and students as well.
Very nice. So let's talk about the show itself. What was the when did it start? How did it start, and how did it come about?
Sean, I think that's for you, right?
Oh gosh. I guess, growing up in South Africa, specifically, at the time of the transition, I was 10 years old when Madiba came out of prison. And even as a 10-year-old, I think, billions of people around the world witnessed that moment live. It was such a moment in history. I think it's ingrained in everyone's memory. And so I was 10 when he came out of prison, and then, for the first 4 years of the negotiations until the election, and then into his presidency. And that, living in the country at such a, monumental shift in its history left such an impression on me as a young person, I guess. And as I mentioned, always obsessed with musical theater. And many years later, I was living in London at the time, and Greg came to visit me. And whenever we were together, we'd go and see as many shows as we could fit into however many days we had. Sometimes two shows a day, and just enough for, for a burger in between. And on the way home from one of the shows on the West End, I suppose the idea just sparked, and I turned to Greg and I said, "I wonder why no one has done a musical about Nelson Mandela and about the country, about the shift and the transition from apartheid to democracy." And that's really kind of how the idea sparked. This was back in 2005, and then a couple months later, I was back in South Africa for a family visit, and Greg set me down at the piano, and we started brainstorming ideas, moments from the story that we knew that were publicly known, and exploring how they, if and how they could be musicalized. And the more we kind of started working on it, the more we, I guess, fell in love with the idea of it. And the more reading we did and the more research we did, the more we actually realized how much we didn't know, even as South Africans. And for the first many years, it was really just a passion project for us. We were both involved in other in other ventures and in other work. And after a number of years, we had assembled, you know, some friends of ours from the music industry in South Africa, and had managed to convince them to help us record some demos of some of our songs. And eventually, we were very blessed to have the opportunity to present to the Mandela family, and the Mandela family very graciously embraced the vision of what we wanted to do, and partnered officially with us. And at that point, we decided that if we wanted to do it, we needed to either develop it in New York or in London, or you know, somewhere where there's really an infrastructure to incubate a new musical. And we packed up our lives and came over with a dream and two suitcases each. And, and we've been here since.
Wow. I hear so many of the stories where 19 years have passed, right, since you first came up with idea, and you, it just sits there, and it just, like wine or bourbon or whatever, it needs time to germinate and get better. So Greg, what did you think when Sean said, hey, what do you think of this idea?
I mean, as always, I thought he was nuts. But you know, I was actually, you know, studying accountancy at the time. I was doing my articles at PricewaterhouseCoopers, you know, auditing in banks and insurance companies by day. But I was also, you know, deeply into the music industry at the time, and writing and recording with a bunch of artists. And yeah, and as Sean said, you know, I think as soon as I got back to South Africa and just started playing around with some ideas and musical ideas, it really struck me just, you know, how the story could be musicalized. And at first we started really by musicalizing famous moments, as Sean's, you know, speeches of his, letters of his that he wrote from prison, turning those into song. And I think when we realized that that was something that we could work with, that's when it hit home that, okay, there's something here. But yeah, I mean, as Sean said, you know, for a number of years, it was really just, yeah, you know, a hobby on the side. And 7 or 8, that's why, you know, as you say, 19 years can go by and in a flash like that. But I'd say until we came to New York and really started learning how to build a musical, and, you know, how everything happens here, how they really work together as a team, and readings and workshops, you know, it was just but a dream. And it only really became tangible once we moved over and started putting together this team. So yeah, it's been a long road, but the most challenging, most rewarding, most stressful, most enjoyable challenge of our lives. Yeah. And
I gotta say, Greg, you're a brave man going from knowing business and banking and accounting and still wanting to get into the arts, knowing how financially unviable it is.
Crazy.
Exactly.
It just goes to show you how bad I was at auditing. No, crazy.
So the two of you moved to New York. Bongi, when did you get involved with the show, and how did you get involved?
Well, I got involved about a year ago, 2 years ago. The first time I actually got involved with the show is they didn't know, because when they were doing one of the readings, the director, Shelley Williams, got in touch with Disney, because, as you know, Lion King has got a lot of South African cast members, myself included. So they were looking for singers. And then so they got in touch with me, having worked with, and I was just coming out of the show with a 14 ensemble, which majority was South African. So they were looking for singers, and I was like, oh, you're looking for singers? And I didn't know Shelley at the time. She called me. She said, oh, I got your number from, got a number from my boss, which was weird for me. So I gave them the singers and did not get involved with my sister-in-law. I gave them one of the lady. I sent them to the auditions, and then they became part of the show. And then I started hearing more about the show, because like everything else, the new show, when there's a new show in town on Broadway, everyone hears about it because everyone is going for auditions. Yeah. And I kept hearing about it, but I didn't pay no mind that much at least. And part of it was because a Mandela story is a very sensitive thing, because it's so dear to so many people. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so many versions of people trying to do it. Even in New York, there was a very tangible reading that was done that I was becoming a part of. So I thought it was the same thing. Then I realized, wait, it's South Africa as well. It's two white South Africans that wrote the show. And I was like, okay, maybe I will meet these guys one day. So through friends, one day they invited me to say, hey, we'd like to talk to you. I don't know how they found my number.
Yeah, so, that was eventually, Rima Webb, actually. Shout out to Rima Webb.
Yeah, Rima Webb, a good friend, a Lion King alumni. And a couple of guys in the show had gone to the readings and participated, some as actors and some as, you know, stage reading people. And they were talking off the show, but I was really not paying any mind to it until when the guy talked to me. And then they called me up into the apartment. Then I didn't know what to expect because I hadn't heard anything about the show, really, except the reading and all the stuff. And then they explained to me what they were doing. And I was like, wow, this is really good. I got really interested, and they are catching me. They're 2 weeks in, they're going to a reading. And they're like, we need to add some music. Yeah. So we sit in the room, we realize that the amount of language and everything we're throwing in is too much for anyone within these few days. So we decided, look, whatever we are working on, we put it in the bags. And I went and witnessed them, the reading for the first time. I think we put maybe one or two sections of the songs, and then that was it, because you know it was a lot that was going to have to be taken to a score, the translations and everything. But from that point, we were talking about the show so much so that I realized that this was really something special. But you have to understand also, as a Black South African and a freedom fighter myself, my perception of Mandela is very much widespread as a politician. I didn't know anything about Mandela, the man. What they told me was that this is about Mandela, the father. Because a lot of people, when they think of Mandela, Nobel Prize winner, politician, 27 years in prison, there's a life that happened to the man before going into prison. These men that we talk about in the show were all practicing law. They were educated men who left those careers and decided to fight for a cause. So I started learning about that. Then I realized also how much I didn't know about the man, Mandela. I knew as a man, which also was a myth to us as young freedom fighters, because we only knew the name. We followed the name Mandela. We had never seen his face until 1990. There was very less pictures of Mandela that were there for us as young freedom fighters. So I didn't know much. I only knew the song that we were singing, the story that Mandela is fighting for us and all of these guys, but nothing much that we knew. So sitting down with them, looking at the script for the first time, I got excited. And as a composer, I started having ideas as well. I was like, wow, I didn't know much. And I think a lot of people will have the same reaction, because the story is not just about the politician, it's about the man. So I got involved. And then from that point, you know, we've been shaping and ideas in, out. It's been really great, fun, right? And there's one thing that we all know amongst ourselves, this is not just us being smart or being creative. We have a responsibility to a country that holds this man to such a high standard for the role that he represents to the entire nation and generations. So it's we're working with something that is very delicate. No wonder it has taken this long, because it's not something you can just do in a year and put it out, because so much has been told about the man in books, in movies, in everything. What are we bringing in, and how much of it are we getting? And I think these guys have done a great job. Me coming into the team is an honor. And, you know, I represent that part also of young comrades that were following the name, the myth, the man, Mandela, and I'm learning about it like everybody else.
Wow. So we've got the team now, plus the book writer. So you've got all of you together. What year was this that you came on, Abongi? Do you remember how long ago was it?
I think it was around 2019.
2019, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we did our first reading end of 2018. Yes. And then at the end of 2019, we did a little showcase at Lincoln Center.
Yes.
Which is when you came, and then the pandemic hit just a couple of months later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I assume during that time, you probably had time to work on it.
Yeah. Yeah. In some ways, it gave us a lot of time and space to really, I mean, I think we had already been in touch with the Young Vic, with Kwame Kwamai at the Young Vic, who had listened to the music and said he was really interested in the show. So so it was exciting to you know, have word from him that he wanted to look, you know, do the show. But it gave us about 18 months to really, you know, look at the piece that we wanted to fine tune for the Young Vic. Yeah.
So you've got it over. You the Vic picks it up and is going to put it on in November of 2022. When you went over there, what was that experience for? And any of you can answer. What was that experience like for you to see your ideas, your concepts fully fledged now, you know, embodied by the actors and the songs and everything like that? I'd love to hear what you know, your experience with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think truly incredible. I think, you know, for any artists or composer lyricists, you know, there's only so much you can bring your vision to life on a page, and musical theater is really created to be staged and to be seen. And until you actually put it up on its feet, you don't know necessarily what's working, what will work, what audiences will respond to, and what needs work. And the idea of doing a developmental production, which the Young Vic was for us, you know, was the very first time we actually got to put the piece up on its feet, was so incredibly helpful to the process of trying to get the show to where we ultimately wanted to be. So it was truly wonderfully rewarding and thrilling and stressful all the things. But yeah, truly we truly cherish the opportunity we had and will forever be grateful to Kwame and to the team at the Young Vic for giving us that opportunity.
Yeah, and you know, I'd say it was really special to be in London as well, being, you know, the start of the anti-apartheid movement worldwide, you know, where Oliver Tambo, you know, really, you know, was. And that, you know, that had some special meaning to it as well, being there and being immersed there, you know, going to Trafalgar Square, which was, you know, just a couple of minutes away from where we were working. So it was really special for us, you know, to have written the show in New York and then moved to London and continued the development, putting it up on its feet for the first time. You know, there's a lot of South Africans in London as well, who came to see the show, and just to see the impact it had on them was, you know, really, really special for us. Yeah.
I feel like the Mandela is the type of show where I'm going to give maybe some weird comparison to Come From Away, that it, depending on where it's being put on, it hits differently with different people. Because I know in New York, Come From Away hits different than it does here in Canada, than it probably did in Australia and the UK. And the Mandela, I have no doubt, in the, like you said, in London, it probably hit different in New York. And if you got it in South Africa as well, what were the audience reactions like? How did they respond? Like, from, you know, being in the room with them.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think any piece will hit differently depending on its subject matter, and the audiences it's in front of. But like Come From Away, I think what Mandela, the story itself has, is, you know, that it truly is, you know, universal, and it resonates with people around the world because it talks to universal issues that people were going through back then and are still going through today around the world. I think what it does is really, you know, touches on the essence of, or the universality of, humanity. I think in the UK specifically, it was quite fascinating for us. I mean, we had folks sitting in the audience who, you know, had brought their grandkids, and we overheard them telling their grandkids that they were youngsters of the time in their 20s marching for free South Africa and marching for Madiba's freedom. And they had brought their grandkids along to kind of see the show with them. And I think there was enormous resonance, as Greg mentioned earlier, that, you know, London specifically was the epicenter of the global anti-apartheid movement. It obviously, as we all know, went on to become the biggest social justice movement of the 20th century. Millions and hundreds of millions of people around the world joined the cause. But it really started off in London. It centered in London, outside of South Africa, of course. It was truly special for us to have the show up at its very first iteration up on its feet in that city.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. I'm just remembering now back to the time when we first got to London, you know, having written the show, or having worked on the show in New York for about 5 or 6 years at the time, you know, no one really questioned the idea of turning the story of Nelson Mandela into a musical.
Mm.
And it was very interesting for us when we got to London. Quite a few folks were like, a musical about Nelson Mandela? Like, yeah, how is that going to work? And I think the expectation was that it would be a political documentary, so to speak. And, you know, as Bongi mentioned, once we, you know, tapped into more of the human side, the father and the husband, that in a way couldn't be in order to become the global icon. Once we tapped into that side of the story, I think folks started seeing it as a musical. So that was interesting for us to learn. You know, we hadn't received that question once in New York. And when we got to London, there were some raised eyebrows at first, but the audiences were amazing. They really were incredible. You know, the ovations every night, and just, you know, the response was really overwhelming for us. And it was amazing to, as Sean said, you know, learn what we needed to learn from that developmental production so that we can go forward now and continue to develop the show.
Bongi, I'm going to ask you this question. When you're writing something, it's in your head and you can picture it. But was there a moment in the show where you just went, they get it? The actor just brings something to that moment that you didn't quite see or surprised you?
Well, yes. For this story in particular, I think I met Mandela in Leeds in 2000, before getting into Lion King. I actually met him. I was on tour. He came, he was doing a tour. I think it was one of the very last tours that he did for the first time. You know, I had been in cities where he was, but to actually be, shake his hand, talk to him, have a conversation with him, joking around, it was very interesting to me. So I'm just tapping on that to follow up on the significance of it being in London. I remember when we did the workshop first time in London, you know, when you realize that Trafalgar Square, you hear about this in the, you read about it, that's where they will gather and everything. And the South African consulate is right there. And, you know, it was interesting because when those things were in existence, Ziyang will hear about them on read about them on the paper. But I think people have to understand that the Mandela story, it is not a fiction. It's a true story based on people's lives. So every moment that happens in the show, it touches a person even more, knowing that this is actually something actually that happened for real. So there are moments which me, myself, as a young political freedom fighter, when we are writing, that things like Toi Toi, when the protest and everything, I remember myself as a young person, I remember watching things on TV. I remember running around the township, running around with everything. And once we put that together on stage, we have to take some moments and actually take breaks in the show, because it is so organic and so authentic and so real, you realize. And it's even worse when you see some family members who come, people that come say, hey, my uncle was in exile, my grandmother was in exile, and you know, they never got a chance to go back to a free South Africa. Those things you hear in London, like Greg and Sean say, there's so many South Africans that remained in London after their parents, some of them went away, some of them lost their lives away from home, and they called London home. So when the show came, you can imagine how much of that is. And it's fascinating, because I realized even from that, during the process of the show, after the, there's so much that also, because I left South Africa right after the first presidency got out. So I never really lived in a free South Africa myself. And the story takes us through that point where actually Mandela comes out. I was still there. You know, in 1990, when he came out, I was still there. I was in high school. But then you realize that so much that has happened. This year, we are celebrating 30 years of freedom in South Africa. You know, it's still new. It's still very fragile. And these guys are very brave. And when they brought me in, I was like, you guys must be really, really, really having some balls to take this on, because there's a reason no one has done this. If you remember, I told you that there's a reason no one has touched this. Because once you put it up, you're putting yourself under scrutiny. Because everyone wants to tell their own version of what Mandela is. Mm-hmm. And we're always going to get that. Because of his stardom and because of his role in the community. So, but the challenge for us is to make sure that we're telling the story of a man, so that people understand that all the good things and the greatness that you see comes from the man that he was, the relationship with his kids, the relationship that develops into a relationship with his comrades, with his country. So much love also stems from his relationship with his family. And that's the part that you will get. And I encourage people to, when the show comes, go see the show, but know that you might have to come back twice, because you might think that, oh yeah, man, the power to the people and everything, and come to find that we're telling a story of a man. We're telling a story of a father who lost so much, including his own children, when he was in prison.
Yeah, I'm so glad you all told tells this story, because it needs to be told. First of all, it's so important. But and by putting it in a musical, it makes it easier to I don't want to use the word digest, but understand and take in. And especially over here in North America, I'll be honest, we know who Nelson Mandela is, obviously, but we don't know the story because we're so far removed from it. And I think it's important that we listen to this story and go see this show so we can learn, you know, what happened, and don't make these same mistakes and learn about this. So thank you to the three of you for putting this together and putting it on. So
thank you.
Now the cast recording, it just dropped, you know, not too long ago. Did you know right from the beginning that it was going to happen, or was that something you found out later in the run after you know, had established the Young Vic as the place?
No, it wasn't originally planned, and then really from audience reactions during the run, you know, we decided we should record it. So we recorded it live, actually, in January, just before the end of the run.
And yeah, there are only so many folks who can come up to the box office asking for the recordings until, you know, at which point we were like, all right, we need to actually record this. It was amazing to hear that they were coming up, you know, every night and asking for the recordings of it. The Young Vic live streamed a few performances towards the end of the run. So that's when we actually captured the audio live. And then we spent about 4 or 5 months really just in studio mixing and cleaning and comping, getting out all the sneezes and the coughs from the audience and those special live spice elements. But yeah, I think it came from the audience. That's really what inspired us to record it. And yeah, we're just really glad that we preserved this cast, because I think, you know, hopefully when people hear it, they'll really hear that this London cast was really special. And, you know, I think it kind of points back to what you were saying to Bongs. You know, was there a moment when you watched the cast and realized, oh, they get it? For me, it was, you know, when Bongi started teaching them the Zulu and that Xhosa, you know, vernacular stuff. That's always a nerve-wracking task, you know, when we have an international cast. I mean, we were so lucky to have 6 South Africans in the cast, but out of the cast of 22, you know, Michael Luoya is American, you know, our Winnie's a young Scottish actress, Danielle Fiamania. So we really had, you know, question marks, how are they going to handle this material authentically? And they really just blew us away. You know, so many folks were so blown away by just their grasp of the culture, the language, the pronunciations. I mean, Bongi drilled them. He did drill them. But they got it. They got it. And yeah. And I think, yeah, we're really proud of the sound that, you know, that the cast have come up with, and how they sound together as a people. Yeah.
Right. So, and I don't know if you can talk about it, but what's next? It's been a year, give or take, and you've got the cast album out. Is there anything on the horizon for the show that you can talk about? Because sometimes you can't, I understand, but is there anything?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, as we mentioned, this the production in London was a developmental production, our first time putting it up. And the idea really was to kind of see what we feel is working and what mm-hmm. what can be improved upon. So we're in the process of rewrites. And the intention is to put the show up again in the coming months in New York. We'll be doing a workshop, and then hopefully followed by a production somewhere in the US. And then the vision has always been for the show to go around the world. So hopefully in Toronto eventually soon.
That would be nice. I would be there in a heartbeat. So,
absolutely.
Well, congratulations to all three of you. Like I said, it's a great sounding album. I'd love to have seen it live. I bet the energy in the room would have just been breathtaking and incredible. So, yeah, all the best to you, moving forward with what. But question: do you have anything on the? Do you have anything else going on? Do you have anything you want to plug? Anything in the pipeline? I know you got this, obviously, but anything else you're doing? No, Bongi, let's start with you. Anything that you want to promote or plug?
Well, currently, no, things are things that I cannot talk about.
Yep.
Unfortunately, there are things that I cannot talk about. But, I mean, there's a few things that are coming up that I'm working on. I also do a lot of work with the dance companies where I score a lot of music for that. And there's a couple of developments that we're trying to do using some of my music with the dance, with the Western side. So we hit a couple of festivals this year, and I'm also in the development with a show called The Number One Ladies Detective, which is taken from the books by McCall from Scotland. We were working at that before the pandemic happened. When I met the guys, I was already working on that, and we thought it was gone dead with the pandemic, but it resurfaced. And funny enough, it will be developed in London in a few months. So that's what I'm working on. So be look out on that. The talks are becoming richer and richer on that one.
And you're still in Lion King?
I'm still in Lion King, yes.
There we go.
I'm still in Lion King.
Killing it.
Go get the tickets. The Lion King on 8 shows a week. We're still doing it. Cycle of life. Yes.
That's awesome. Sean, yourself.
On my side, full time on Mandela. It's more than enough to keep me busy. I'm just focusing on Mandela at the moment. Yeah.
Greg, got any banking stuff you're working on or accounting?
No, absolutely not. They wouldn't have me back at this point. But I am working on, I'm working on two other shows. You know, one of them is it's called Senior Class. It's a contemporary retelling of My Fair Lady set in a present day Harlem high school. So we're in development with that. We just had a pretty exciting movement lab with Carla Puno Garcia, who's come on board as our choreographer. So that's a pretty exciting, very different. You know, it's young and you know, having fun with the kids. It's been amazing. And then I've actually just started working with Melvin Tunstall on a theater works piece called Stunt Boy. In the meantime, based on the comic by Jason Reynolds. So that's a new piece that we've just started working on. So from a guy who was in soul and R&B, I'm now musicals all the way.
You have drank the poison, my friend. Welcome.
I know, Bungs. I know.
Yep.
So one more question for each of you, just a quick answer. If there's one thing you could bring over from South Africa to New York, be it food or something, what would it be? What would you want to bring to New York that they should discover from South Africa?
Biltong.
Oh, that's a good one.
And what's, now I have to know, what is it?
Biltong, it's kind of like, I guess in America, it would be, the closest thing would be beef jerky, but it's not, yes, beef jerky. It's much, much better than jerky.
Awesome. Cool. Well, Greg, anything that you'd want, or Bongi?
I don't know. I think if I can say in New York, one thing that we South Africans would like to have, it is in many states in America, is Nando's. We need to have a Nando's in New York. I know I would say traditional food, but that's much more complicated than all other stuff. We can get the stuff, but what we cannot get is Nando's. Nando's is a chicken John from South Africa. Yes, I know some people say there's chicken everywhere, but this is different. It's different. They have it in Maryland, in Chicago. We need to have it in New York. By the time we open the show, we should have a Nando's here. If a Nando's executive or representative is listening, yes, please make a plan.
Amen.
Out of all
Amen.
Places, New York. And this is for Greg because he's obsessed with the beggar.
You stole my answer, Bongs. You stole my answer.
Yes, on purpose.
But you know, I'll say it's amazing. You know, in New York, there are no real South African stores that sell so many South African products. When I was in LA on the West Coast, they've got stuff, and I'm sure in Toronto, you know, there's a big South African population. But just a South African store to get some, I don't know, Mrs. Ball's chutney and, you know, peppermint crisp. And the list
is
there.
Some more tennis, everything.
Some more, everything we grew up with. It's always so special when we do visit back home. We just indulge like absolute pigs. But, but yeah, we miss the taste.
Awesome. Guys, congratulations. Thank you for coming on, talking to me about it. I think everybody should definitely check out the cast recording, and wherever it goes, people should follow the story of Mandela and the new musical and see where it goes. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. We were just speaking with Bongi, Sean, and Greg, the creators of the new musical, Mandela, a new musical. Make sure to check out the new cast recording that just dropped from Center Stage Records. You can get it there. You can get it on iTunes, anywhere that you buy your music. Make sure you get it and check it out. Tune in next week as we'll speak with another guest or guests about their life, love, and passion that is musical theater. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. And until next time, I'll see you when I see you.